Thank you, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate you.
I love you and your family and the folks of this church and the ministers who are with us and those whom we have made acquaintances down through the years. Good to renew that acquaintanceship here today. One of the first ones I met coming in today was Ada. We appreciate you folks lending her to the district office. Even though she made it a brief stay, we would like to have kept her much, much longer. Brother Ferris, who served on the board of our operational camp, Mountain View Camp, and has done such a great job. It's good to see Brother Sewell. I'll tell you, that was a marvelous song by that choir. Would you say amen? Amen. You know, this church has turned out any number of great preachers. And I was thrilled this morning as I listened to Brother Day as he presented that Sunday school lesson. He presented it in a unique manner, as only Brother Day can do, but he did a tremendous job with it. There's my friend R.E. Maxwell back there. I've known him for years. We appreciate Brother and Sister Maxwell. As a matter of fact, I understood that he was a supervisor on this building. I heard that he ordered folks, told them exactly what to do, and he stood by and watched them do it. I'm not so sure that that's the actual way it was. Brother Ring, it's always a pleasure to see you, friend of long acquaintance. And here's Brother John Curtis. Everybody in Jacksboro knows Brother John Curtis. We appreciate this man, his devotion, dedication to God. And I certainly wouldn't leave out my presbyter here, Brother Manuel Hankins. We've known each other for many a year. I love and cherish my brother. And Brother and Sister Carpenter, this church stands as a tribute to them today for their direction, their leadership, but they've had the cooperation of a wonderful group of people too. Amen. And one day we're all going to stand around the throne of God and enjoy the blessings of God for all eternity. Everybody that's happened to be here, say amen. I tell you, it's a thrill and an excitement. I sense the very presence of the living God in this service. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, and I want to read beginning with the 12th verse, Paul's letter to Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Shall we pray? Son of God, we lift our heart in adoration unto thee. We sense that thou art here. We pray your blessings upon this lovely congregation, for the friends of this church who are in attendance, for the ministers who are here. And we pray especially for our pastor and wife and family. We do thank you for their devotion unto thee and their leadership. And God, give them many, many more added years of ministry to magnify thy wonderful name. Now give to us thy word to minister, and we'll honor thee for it. Amen. Now I have an outline. It's entitled, Looking Back to Praise Him, Looking Ahead to Trust Him, Looking Around to Serve Him, and Looking Up to Expect Him. Now, I'm not sure that I'll cover the 4 points, but at least I'll give you something to think about in that outline, I trust. Brother Carpenter said that he was certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt, before you left here today, I'd be saying something about Wichita Falls. And I must tell you, when I look back to March the 10th, 1940, I see myself at an altar, a sinner on the Saturday night before, almost had a fist fight outside the church, the last night of a 5-week revival campaign. And the conviction of God came upon my soul. I made my way to the altar, and Jesus Christ revolutionized my life. He transformed me from a sinner unto a saint. You know, there are a lot of folks don't. They say, well, how in the world can you call yourself a saint? Because the scripture calls the redeemed saints. That's what God calls his children, saints. And you don't have to be dead 100 years and then a certain church honor you and canonize you and make you a saint. From the moment you're redeemed by the blood of the Son of God, you are a saint. Amen. And may we live like saints daily. As was mentioned in our Sunday school class this morning, we've had a lot of publicity. For a while, you know, we were the people who lived and had a church on the other side of the tracks. Now, in the last few years, one thing is certain. Almost the whole world has heard about the Assemblies of God. Now they've heard it in a bad light, but you know, we can never determine what God will do with adverse advertisement. Amen. We've got a great number of great preachers, sort of like that little town south of Waxahachie called Milford. There's a sign as you go into that town. It says 700 wonderful people and 3 or 4 old grouches. And we've got thousands of Assemblies of God preachers, and in the last few years, we've had 3 who have demoralized our testimony. But thank God for the leadership of our church that took the stand that they did, excommunicated the people, because the Assemblies of God believes in this book. And as Brother Day said this morning, the minister is to set an example. God has a great future for the Assemblies of God. And I really don't place any stock in the fellow who has announced that September the 11th or 12th or 13th, the church is going to be raptured. For this book says that only the Father knows. Jesus Christ himself doesn't know. The angels don't know. How can a human being down here know? They're way out on a limb. I got the book, I threw it in the wastebasket. Didn't read it because I read this book. Now that doesn't mean the Lord can't come within the next 5 minutes. He can come. Now my birthday happened to be September the 11th. What an honor it would be for the Lord to come on that day. But I don't think he's chosen my birthday for his time to come. God has the choice that he wants to make when that rapture is going to take place, and I'm going to leave it to him. Amen. You know, Joseph was a notable, noble character. In his youthfulness, he did a lot of things that after he grew older, I'm sure he wished he had never said them and had done them. He took the visions that God gave him and went immediately to his brothers and said, one day, you're going to pay obeisance to me. But I notice in the scripture that the scripture says that Jacob observed what Joseph had said. Now, it made the brothers fighting mad. Not only mad, they despised Joseph. And when they saw him coming across that field, the scripture says he was afar off. And they knew who he was. I wonder how they knew that. Anybody got an idea? A coat. I believe that's what it was. That coat of many colors. Every time those brothers saw that coat of many colors, they got fire in their eyes. Here was the kid brother, the baby brother that was having all respect shown to him. He was the pet of the family, and they despised him. And I think Jacob perhaps made a serious mistake in showing that preference of his children. And no doubt Joseph made some serious mistakes by every time he had a dream or a vision that exalted himself, he's out telling somebody about it. But there's one thing about this man. He kept his integrity with God Almighty. They threw him into a pit. He was sold as a slave. He was seduced. But the grace of God was in his heart. That vile woman went out of her way to seduce that young, handsome man, but he maintained his integrity with God Almighty. God expects us to live a life of holiness, to follow peace with all men, without which no man shall see God. I want you to know, friends, I appreciate the spirit of the living God that I sense in this sanctuary this morning. Last week, I was in a business meeting in a church. And I'll tell you, some people left God way back somewhere else. Their spirit wasn't the spirit of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I sense the sweetness and the glow of heaven coming over this congregation. I didn't sense that the other night. I got home at 1:30 in the morning after that session. My prayer is for those people. God is not the author of confusion. It's the enemy. And let me tell you, friends, if somebody begins a tale that's going to bring confusion in this church, you immediately wrap their knuckles. You take them to the throne of grace and pray the blessings of God to be upon them that they might get the right spirit. Well, Joseph was thrown in prison by the lie of this woman. But he was made the master of the prison. God had given this boy wisdom, just like the parents of Moses when they saw that infant, that child. They had the witness within their heart that God was going to use Moses. And God did use Moses. And Jacob observed what Joseph had said. And the day came when God honored Joseph in his manner of life, in his dedication to God and to his cause. Just because we have problems doesn't mean that we're out of the will of God. Just because we have sickness and we're bereaved at a time of death doesn't mean that we're out of the will of God. The Lord Jesus Christ sent word to John the Baptist. John was in prison, soon to have his head cut off. The Lord Jesus knew he was to have his head cut off. And John sent his two disciples and said, "Go ask him, is he the Christ, or do we look for another?" And when those disciples visited him in prison, or visited Jesus, he said, "You go back to John in prison and tell him what you've seen. Blinded eyes have opened. The lame are made to walk. The gospel is preached to the poor. The lepers are healed." And then he added another word. This is in Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. He said, "You tell him, blessed are those who shall not be offended in me." What did that mean? That meant, John, whatever takes place in your life, I'm mindful of it. I know that you are behind bars. You're in a dungeon. I know that your life will be taken from you. But didn't he say in this book, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end"? Jesus said there was none greater among women than John the Baptist. And so, my friends, may I urge you in the hour of tragedy, in the hour of heartache, in the hour of sadness, in those times when your soul wells up within you, there's a burden upon your heart, you burst into tears, it's almost greater than you can stand. Remember, blessed are those who shall not be offended in me. And the day came when Joseph was exalted, was second in command, and those brothers who had sold him into slavery, they stood before him, but they didn't recognize him. But he recognized them. There are some churches, I pastored a church on one occasion, where people wouldn't sit on the same side of the church. They didn't like people on this side, or they didn't like those on this side. Now, can you imagine people who call themselves Christian that will hardly speak to one another. When they do speak, it's with sarcasm or a feeling of hatred. Oh, that's not the spirit of Jesus Christ. In no way. But here were these brothers who were standing before Joseph, not knowing that it was Joseph. But Joseph was not one to carry a grudge. There are a lot of people, my friends, who feel like that they have been done a harm, and they're going to carry that grudge to their grave, and they're going to end up in hell because they haven't asked forgiveness. If there ever was a man that I feel could have carried a grudge, I think it was old Joseph. He had done nothing wrong. The Lord Jesus Christ hung on that cross of Calvary. And the psalmist said, "The bulls of Bashan roared against me. Every bone in his body was out of joint. But he looked down and he said, 'Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them.'" Joseph had two sons. The first one was named Manasseh. The reason he named him Manasseh was, "I have forgiven my family for what they did for me." Amen. And that's before his brothers ever came down to Egypt. Then he had another son he called Ephraim. "The bountiful blessings of God have flowed my way." Thank God we have treasures untold, and we're laying up treasures on the other side. Jesus Christ is our Lord, our keeper, our master, our provider. He's our all in all. Here was this man, Joseph. He was a young man, a handsome man, a brilliant man. At 30 years of age, he was second in command of the land of Egypt. And you know the story, how they found the silver cup in little Benjamin's knapsack or grain sack. And he called them back, and there they were before him. You know, he had seated them at a table, and the oldest, the next oldest, and on down, they were all in age sequence. And they looked at one another and said, "How could this be?" And then when they passed the victuals, I was glad to hear about those victuals we're going to have here after a while. Amen. Everybody knows what a victual is. Let me see your hand. Oh, yeah. Now we're talking Wichita Falls language. Well, when they served those brethren around that table, they started at the oldest and went to the youngest. And they gave those brothers one dip. When they got down to Joseph, unto Benjamin, they gave him five helpings. What do you know about it? When they had the tailors ordered the suit, all the other brothers got one suit, but Benjamin got five suits. You see, this was his brother. Jesus Christ is our elder brother, and he has great things for us. His power, his grace, his glory, his blessings, even in the hour of sadness or disappointment, heartache or illness, our poverty itself. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end." When Joseph stood before those brethren and said, "I am Joseph," I think their knees begin to shake like an aspen leaf on the Colorado hillside in the autumn of the year, fearing for their own lives. Now our sin has caught up with us. But isn't it good that God Almighty can take that which was supposed to have been bad, and God can make it good? And he looked at those brothers and remembered he named his son Manasseh because he got victory over his brothers that had been such a tragedy to him. And he looked about him and saw the palatial mansion he was living in and the food that was before them when people up in Israel were dying because they didn't have food. And he said, "Oh Lord, you've been so good to me." And he looked at his brothers and he said, "I forgive you. You've been forgiven a long time. You purposed to do me wrong, but God has taken it and turned it around in order for the nation of Israel to be preserved." This man has one of the greatest testimonies of faith that I know anything about. He said, "The day is coming when I die. You take my body, you embalm it, put it in a coffin. One day you're going to leave the land of the taskmasters. One day you're going to leave the land of Egypt. Take my body and bury it in the promised land." Now, don't you know that it was an odd sight? Those 40 years the children of Israel were meandering around in the wilderness, and there were these fellows carrying a coffin. For 40 years carrying a coffin. And they said, "What in the world is wrong with those people? What are they doing?" Man, it was simple faith in the promise of God Almighty. Here was a Jewish lad who, as a lad, had an experience with God. He took it with him for the remainder of his days, even unto his death, and God gave him the prophetic voice: "The children of Israel will be out from under the heel of the taskmasters and will go into the promised land." Glory be to God. You and I are living in an hour of wickedness, perversion, drunkenness, dope addiction, adultery, homosexuality. But my friends, we're on the march. The Church of the Living God is on the march. We're heaven bound. We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair and happy land. We're on our way. Paul, he says, "I was the worst of sinners." And I think you and I would agree with him. I think most of us have said, we've sort of challenged him and said, "No, you couldn't have been any worse than I was." But Paul said, "I was the worst of sinners." But God Almighty thought enough of you and me that he left the ivory palaces of glory, identified himself as a human being, that we, the sons of men, might become the sons of God. "It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we do know that when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is. And we shall be like unto him. Let every man that hath this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure." The eternal God. So when we look back, we think of where we've come from. We look ahead. Paul said, "I pressed toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus." It was not enough to look back. He regretted his sinfulness. He regretted that he had denounced Jesus Christ, that he was a blasphemer, he was a persecutor, he caused the death of Christians time and time again. But he said, I obtained mercy. And the reason I obtained mercy is that you could identify me as the worst sinner the world has ever known. But God took the worst sinner and redeemed him. And if he could redeem me, Paul says, he wants to redeem you. Glory to God. There wasn't an ounce of fear in Saul of Tarsus. Now Paul, the saint of God, who's given unto us 14 epistles in this blessed book, he didn't flinch when they called and said, your execution is at hand. He writes to this young Timothy that we've read from. And he says, Timothy, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. But not only unto me, but unto all them that love his appearing. My friends, that appearing could happen within the next second. It could happen within the next 5 minutes. It could happen within the next year. But at whenever time it takes place, the important thing is, are we ready? Are we ready for that day? Not only did this man look back, he looked ahead, he looked around him. It is stated that Rome had to change those guards often because as they would come into his cell, and I've been in that Mamertine prison, he talked to them about Jesus Christ and they were converted to the faith. Amen. He was a soul winner even unto his death, looking up, expecting him. Would you stand with me, please? Let's give him praise and thanks for the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. I'd like to have an invitational hymn. Oh God, we magnify thy name this morning. We thank you for the love of God that doth constrain us. We thank you for the peace that passeth understanding. Thank you for the grace of God that is ours. We're an heir of God, a joint heir with thee, a fellow heir with the saints. We thank you today. We thank you today. Glory be to God.